everybody say your name out loud. Are you ready? Well, we did it a couple weeks ago. Let's do it again today. One, two, three, go! Yeah, y'all have some beautiful names. Heard every one of them. Okay, but there are some crazy names out there, right? Some parents are just irresponsible when it comes to naming their children. Like the Mann family that named their daughter Amina. Think about it. For her whole life, she was known as Amina Mann. Or the Wright family, they named their daughter Eileen, right? Eileen Wright. These are real names, okay, right? And then there's the Price family who named their daughter Lois. Come on, y'all. Lois Price? The list could go on and on. My wife's best friend growing up, her maiden name was Shannon Pitts, and I was friends with her brother David, and they had an uncle named Harry. The three of y'all got that. Harry Pitts! At least he wasn't a girl, amen. Some parents need to think about this stuff. But names matter. Names are important. Why? Because they speak to your identity. People know you. They identify you by your name. And for the next few weeks, we're going to look at famous name changes in the Bible. This is all part of this series we're in called That's Who I Am. Finding our identity in Christ. So here's my quote for this series. If you guys will just humor me one more time, come on, say this out loud. I am who the I am says I am. Amen. So many people get their identity from their situations, from their circumstances, from people around them, from things people have said about them. But I pray that you would get the mindset of who cares what people say about me as long as I know what God says about me. The goal of this series is for us to look at the Word of God and say, no, that's who I am. I'm not who the world says I am who God says I am. Last time we talked about Naomi. Naomi and her husband, they made some mistakes. Well, let's call it what it really is. It was more than mistakes. They were living in direct disobedience to God. For 10 years, they lived the way they wanted to, but eventually, they had to deal with some consequences. How many of y'all know when you go the wrong way in life, you're going to face some consequences at some point? You will reap what you sow. That is a godly universal principle, right? Amen. Naomi did things her own way, and eventually, unfortunately, sadly, she lost everything she loved. She was broken and alone, and she changed her name to Mara, which means bitter. But God still called her Naomi, which means blessed. Too many people label themselves by the worst things in their life. Too many people label themselves by the failures of the past, by their faults, by the pain, the tragedies that they've experienced in life. That becomes their identity, but you are more than what you've gone through. God still has a better future in mind for you. They always said, call me bitter. God said, no, I'm calling you pleasant. That's who I made you to be. Do not let your circumstances define you. When Naomi humbled herself and went back to the place where God had called her, he restored her life. Today we're going to look at a man named Abraham. And no, not Abraham Lincoln. I never forget my wife came home from kids' church one day. She said, you know, I told the class we were talking about Abraham. Well, the kids said, Abraham Lincoln? No, not Abraham Lincoln. People just don't have Bible knowledge that they did a generation ago. So we're going to get down to the basics. Not Abraham Lincoln, but the Abraham of the Bible. Abraham is considered the patriarch of the three major world religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. They all trace their roots back to Abraham. And today I want to share with you some of his story. Abraham was born by the name Abram around 4,000 years ago. So there were 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, and then 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus, and then 2,000 years from Jesus to right now. Y'all think we might be living in a time of transition? Hello. Abram grew up in a city called Ur of the Chaldees. There's a name for you. And for many centuries, Bible critics claim that the city never existed until they found it in 1922 in southern Iraq. They dug it up and the city was there with buildings still intact. How about that? And in the center of the ruins is a massive building called the Ziggurat. And the Ziggurat of Ur is the world's oldest man-made structure still standing. Or at least it was until ISIS used it for target practice. As we've said before, everything Islam touches turns to desert. Not only geographically, but culturally and intellectually as well. Winston Churchill said this of his world travels. He said, "Everywhere that I've traveled that's been touched by Islam ends up worse than it was before." Islam is a religion of death and oppression, but Christianity is a religion of life and hope. Think about it. Islam in its extreme form is the taking of lives, but Christianity in its extreme form is the laying down of your life for the sake of others. It cannot be more different. But here's the thing you need to know about Ur and Abram's story. Ur of the Chaldees, the people of Ur were pagan people. Okay? Maybe you live in a house full of pagan people. Don't feel bad. Abraham did that. Abraham grew up in a city full of idol worshippers. And though he was surrounded by pagans, Abram did not worship their pagan gods. He refused to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. Instead, he chose to worship the one who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He worshiped the one true God, our Creator. But it's incredible that Abram, the patriarch of our faith, grew up in a place where there was no faith in God. Don't let anybody tell you that just because you didn't grow up in a Christian home, you can't be somebody for God. Come on. All that means is you aren't messed up by religion and ain't got to unlearn a bunch of stuff. Abraham wasn't raised in a godly home, but the Bible calls him a friend of God. He was God's covenant man. And though he grew up in a pagan environment, there came a day when God called him out of that environment. Genesis chapter 12 says this, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great.'" Identity. "And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse them who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Four things I want you to see in Abraham this morning. Number one, God blessed him because he believes. God blessed him because he believes. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Think about it. God considered Abraham righteous for no other reason than the fact that he believed God. Never underestimate the power of faith in God. Did you know faith is the currency of heaven? If you want to do business with the world, you need cash and money, but if you want to do business with God, you've got to have faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Not only is God real, but God loves you, and he will bless you when you pursue him and seek him. God is looking for people who are bold enough to believe him, to believe that he's good, to believe that he loves us, to believe that his word is true. And without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, can't even be saved. Hello? Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Next time you act like you came out of the womb speaking in tongues, that you walked on water to get to church today, go back to Ephesians 2:8. You won't save by your good deeds, you were saved by faith alone. It is not of works. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Hello. I hate to break it to you. God didn't save you because you were such a good person before you came to Jesus. That's not why God saved you. God saved you because you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and you put your faith in him as the Son of God. And because of your faith, God saves you. Come on, tell somebody God responds to faith. God doesn't respond to good works. He responds to faith. He didn't call Abraham because of the good things Abraham did. He called him because Abraham believed God. Never underestimate the power of faith. Number one, God blessed him because he believed. Number two, God called him away from the place where he was. Uh-oh. Here's the deal. God didn't call Abraham because he lived right, but God expected him to live right once he called him. It's the same thing with you and me. God doesn't save us because we live right, but we live right because we're saved. You can't get saved by living right, but you can't be saved and not live right. Oh, that's a tough message right there. I'm just going to get a little nervous and I have to preach to myself and say amen to myself, and I might even take up an offering. Be the only one that gives. You're not saved by living right, but living right is an outward indication that you've been saved. The Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Martin Luther said it like this: we're saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. When God has changed you on the inside, there will always be evidence on the outside. And just as God called Abraham away from his homeland of Haran, God is calling you and me away from the ways of this world. Just 17 years after the promise, God speaks to Abram. He confirms his promise. Listen to what he says. Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. God doesn't save us because of good works, but he saves us for good works. Amen. So back in Genesis 12, God told Abram, get out of the environment you're in. Isn't it amazing the difference an environment can make? Somebody's living there right now. The whole reason you're not living for God is because you stayed in the wrong environment. Some of you, you'll never do anything that God has called you to do until you get out of that wrong atmosphere. Yes, Jesus placed us in the world to be the light, but Jesus also said, if they don't listen to what you have to say, wipe off the dust and keep going, talk to somebody else. Why did Jesus say that? Because somebody is always influencing somebody else. One will always influence the other. If you're not influencing them for Jesus, guess what? It should have happened. They're influencing you for the world. There's no neutrality. Somebody's always going to influence the other. And if you're not making a difference in their life for God, what are they doing to your faith? Mm-hmm. God said, Abram, if you want the promise, get out of the place where you are. When God called Abram out of Haran, not only was he calling him away from that environment, he was calling him away from his past. You can't move forward in God if you're always looking back to the past. Mm-hmm. I know a pastor friend, he got in a real bad wreck when he was a teenager in Myrtle Beach because a good-looking woman was walking behind his car. He was looking in the rearview mirror and ran right into the car in front of him. And I'm not dealing with other pastors here. I'm not talking about me. It really wasn't somebody else. Listen, we get in trouble when we're always staring in the rearview mirror because we're not paying attention to the future in front of us. Hello. He said, you got to get away from your past. You'll never move forward in God if you're looking backwards. Faith in God is all about forward motion. There is no reverse in God's transmission. Maybe you got some things in your past that you're ashamed of. Guess what? The further you move ahead in God, the further away your past is going to get. Oh, we've all got things in our past we hate. That's why I love to look ahead. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've seen enough of the past. Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, and we should too. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's the key. Some of y'all are stuck in neutral. You're not going anywhere. Why? Because you're looking at the past and thinking about the past and you're stuck in the past. The Apostle Paul said this to you and me. Forget all of that and move forward in Jesus. So God, look, I'll never use you because of my past. Listen, Moses was a murderer. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. If God used them, he could certainly use you. Let go of the past and move forward in Jesus' name. God blessed him because he believed. God called him away from the place where he was. Number 3, God told him, go to the place where I want to show you. Genesis 12:1, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. God said to Abram, go, and I want you to go right now, and then I'll tell you where you're going. Does that seem backward to anybody else? How do you expect me to start a journey when I don't have the destination? That may sound crazy to you and me, but that is often how God works. God will often tell us go before He shows us where we're going. Never underestimate the power of forward motion. I'll never forget one of the dumbest things I ever did in my life was going on a whitewater rafting trip. I was thinking, man, this is so stupid right here. Never again. If y'all love that, bless your heart. That's crazy. But we were in these rapids, and this guy said to us, he said, I cannot steer the raft if you're not rowing. In other words, if you're in the water and we're just going along with the rapids, we're going to go under. But if you're moving faster than the rapids around you, then I can steer you. Forward motion. The Bible says that God will order your what? Steps. God can't lead you if you ain't stepping. That's why this message is called I'm walking. I'm stepping into my destiny. I'm stepping into my blessing because God guides us when we're moving forward. You can't steer a parked car. It just doesn't work that way. You can't steer a car without moving. Amen. Never underestimate the power of forward motion. And God said to Abram, go! And then I'll steer you and tell you where you're going. Amen. God cannot steer the course of your life if you're just sitting still. God knows the destination, even if you don't. Okay? Oftentimes, God won't show us where we're going in advance because He knows that if He did, we'd mess the whole thing up. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. God knows where He's leading us, but we don't always know where we're going on that journey because God said, you can't handle that right now. I'll give you a personal example, okay? Can I be honest with y'all because this is just us and the internet watching, right? Okay. I never, ever, ever in my entire life thought that I would end up in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Anybody else say that? Okay, I got about 5 or 6 honest people in the house. I had no idea that this was the place that God would have me in ending up. Okay, but now that I'm here, I can look back and see how my whole life God was steering me. I just kept moving forward one little step at a time. God, I don't understand. I don't know the next door you want to open. I don't know where you're going to lead me, but I'm just going to keep following. I'm going to keep moving. But my whole life, God was preparing and aligning things for me to end up right here. When I was going through the process of becoming an ordained minister in the Assemblies of God, the pastor who wrote my letter of recommendation was an elderly pastor in Wilmington. He was a retired pastor of First Assembly of God named Brother Julian McMillan. And he wrote my reference letter. Brother Julian, in the 1960s, as a teenager, came to Christ. Guess where that happened? In this church. May the Lord might be satisfied. When I was ordained, the pastor who laid hands on me and prayed over me at my ordination, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, Pastor Tom Witten. Do you know who signed the letter authorizing us to become a recognized church in 1963? That guy. The one who prayed over me about ordination. You see, God knew about Goldsboro the whole time, but He didn't tell me. I would have messed the whole thing up. God cares just as much about the process as He does about the destination. It's not just where you're going. It's about the things you go through to get there. God told me about Goldsboro first. You know what I would have done? I would have tried to skip all the other steps. Because we went through some stuff to get to where God wanted us to be. I heard an old preacher say years ago, Jonah went through hell and the whale. We went through hell and the whale to get to Goldsboro, y'all. We went through some tough seasons of crying and fasting and praying and seeking God and saying, Lord, this is a sinking whale. Why do you have us here? Can't you just make this thing throw up? I mean, we got to get out of this season. God God said, no, I got you where I want you to get you ready for where I want you to be. If we had skipped all these other steps, we would have never learned what we needed to learn. Amen? When I was 12 years old and I felt the call of God on my life, if I knew that I was going to be a pastor, I would have never volunteered to work in the parking lot. God's going to have power in the Sarah. You know, this is the other parking lot. Come on. Don't act like y'all would have got cocky. If God had shown me the destination, maybe I never would have done all the little things along the way that were humbling me, training me. Because sometimes the path to the pulpit starts with the plunger. God, give me that microphone. He gives you a plunger. It's going to like I told you. Where I grew up, I'm called that turret. God cares just as much about the journey as He does the destination, because the journey gets you ready for the destination. Why on earth did He have the Israelites follow the cloud and the fire all over in a zigzag pattern in just random places? To teach them how to follow Him. God knows if He tells us the whole story from the beginning, we'd mess it up, and you know you would. Somebody once said, God will show us one or two steps, but He never shows the whole staircase. You keep following one step at a time. So He said, go to the place that I will show you. When you're serving God, there are some places where you don't belong, and there are other places where you do belong. Let me tell you something. You can try all you want, but you will never be happy living outside of the will of God. When God has a calling on your life, when He's put ministry inside of you, when God has a purpose for the talents and the abilities and the resources you have, you will never be happy until you surrender those things to the will of God. Because when you belong to Him, He won't let you be satisfied anywhere but in His perfect will. Amen? Almost so. God blessed him to go to Galilee. Two, God called him away from the place where he was. Three, He told him to go where the place he would show him. And number four, God's blessing was greater than Abraham imagined. When he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. In Hebrew, I'm El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face. God talked with him. I mean, you know, sometimes if you just fall on your face, God will start to talk. That's a message for somebody. Maybe I'll preach it one day. Maybe God's going to preach it to you the rest of this week. Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Back in the beginning, God told him, I'll make you a great nation. One great nation. But now God tells Abram more of the story. He says, I'll make you a father of many nations. Now that he's further along in the process, God shows him that his blessings are greater than what he had previously understood. Verse 5, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of many nations. God pronounced an incredible blessing over Abraham, and he promised to bless him for generations to come, an everlasting covenant. That means that every blessing that God made to the people of Israel came as a result of blessing Abraham. All of God's promises in the Bible, they're given through the blessing of Abraham, and that blessing belongs to you and me too. Come on, tell somebody that blessing is mine. But remember what God told him when he first called him. He said, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth. I don't know about you, but my family is of the earth. Okay, anybody else? You're an earthling this morning, okay? All the families on the earth through you will be blessed. That includes you and me. But there's more to it than that. Ultimately, this is how we have the right to the promise. It's through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You are an heir of the kingdom of God. You have the promise of the Holy Spirit, of salvation, of redemption on your life by what Jesus did for you. That promise belongs to you. That promise is yours. You're here this morning and you're not an heir of the promise. If you've not experienced new life in Jesus Christ, you can experience that today because God knows you and He loves you. He doesn't judge us by our past. He saves us not because of what we have or haven't done. He saves us because He loves us. The Bible says that God demonstrates His own love for us in this, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were at our worst, God gave His very best to pay the price for you and for me. We're not saved by good works, we're saved by faith. It is the gift of God. If you want eternal life, if you want a new beginning, if you want forgiveness of your sins, it all comes down to this, faith in Jesus Christ. Will you put your faith in Him this morning? Will you stand as we pray? Father, I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for Your love that is so great for us. And God, I pray for those who are listening right now, God, who haven't put their faith in You, who haven't trusted their life to You. God, I pray, Lord, that their faith will begin to rise up in them right now, even as we're praying. God, I thank You, Lord. God, may they know more than they've ever known that You are God, that You love them, and You created them for a purpose. And Lord, I thank You that You're the God who gives us a future no matter what our past is like. Lord, no matter how deep we are into the depths of sin, Lord, Your arm is not short, but You cannot reach us and save us. God, I thank You, Lord, that today is somebody's second chance. Today is somebody's day of redemption. Today is the beginning of hope in somebody's life. Jesus, thank You for giving Your all to pay the price for them and for me and for all of us. God, help them to put their faith in You completely. Thank You, Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to just help you start that journey. Will you just pray this prayer with me? Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. By faith, I believe in You. By faith, I receive forgiveness. By faith, I receive You as my Lord. In Your name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Can we rejoice in that victory we have in Jesus this morning? Come on, if you've been redeemed, if you've been adopted into the family of God, if you've been set free, will you worship loud this morning? Will you praise God's name today? Lord, we thank You. We praise You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You for Your great salvation. We thank You, Jesus, for Your love and Your mercy. Hallelujah. Come on.